Today, friends, we are going to begin our new sermon series from the book of Proverbs. Now, my goal today is to introduce to us this book. We know that Solomon is attributed to be the editor of Proverbs, as well as the author of a large portion of the book, thus making its content labeled wisdom teachings or wisdom literature. Now, the reason the church fully embraces this belief is based on scripture found in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. And I want to share those verses with you before we actually focus on the proverb verses that we will be exploring for during our sermon time this morning. So Nathan, if you would, please place those behind me and on the screen. Verse 29 says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. I can't even fathom what that means or what that looks like. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezraite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. His fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Friends, this is prior to an internet. Can you even imagine? Scripture says he spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. And from all the nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. You see, friends, these scriptures tell us that Solomon was gifted by God with wisdom and was world renowned for that wisdom. And just as Solomon's world was hungry to know wisdom, our world today continues to be fascinated with this topic, right? I mean, how many of you go into Harps or your local Walmart or Costco or Target store and we're not bombarded with books that we can purchase that offers an author's wisdom on how we can accomplish specific goals within our lives? In fact, there are a few talk show hosts that I believe continue to ride their fame and following because they impart their brand of wisdom on how to help individuals overcome habits, hang-ups, or hurts. To take this one step further, I don't have a single friend or colleague that I know that is not hungering, at least in some degree, on how to gain insight and wisdom on how to succeed in not only living their lives personally, but how to succeed in moving their church forward in this new world we call post-COVID. I will share with you that in my time of preparation, brothers and sisters, I was drawn to read a little bit, or to incorporate a little bit of my study time in preparation by reading from some sources I have on psychology. And this is what one source said about wisdom. I quote, "Wisdom is one of those qualities that is difficult to find because it encompasses so much, but which people generally recognize when they encounter it. And it is encountered most obviously in the realm of decision making." And that same author went on to say this, "Psychologists tend to agree that wisdom involves an integration of knowledge, experience, and deep understanding, as well as a tolerance for the uncertainties of life. There's an awareness of how things play out over time, and it confers a sense of balance." End of quote. Now, I find that statement very interesting because I believe that Scripture teaches us the absolute definition of wisdom. In fact, that is what our goal is today. So, Nathan, if you would, put up our scriptures this morning from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In church, I want to ask that you join along with me again in reading these verses. Verse 1 says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise." Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. And let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And our last verse, verse 7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Father God, I ask for your blessings upon this sermon series and upon this time together. For Lord, I know that today is not one of those sermons that will be about pricking the hearts of those who are listening, but offering insight to our minds and to our hearts about what wisdom is. So God, I ask for your Spirit to work through these teaching sermons so that all of us may find the true meaning of what it is to live a successful life in accordance to the Proverbs, an abundant life in accordance to the words of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Now, if you've ever read this book before, then you know Proverbs consistently references that there are two paths of life, right? One is guided by wisdom, and the other is tainted with foolishness. It reminds me of the old parable, the tale of two wolves. I'm sure most of you have heard it, but maybe you have it, maybe some of you at home have not, so let me share it with you. It goes like this. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He says, "A fight is going on within inside me, boy. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil," the grandfather said. "He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." But he continued, "The other grandson is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." Grandpa looked at his grandson and said, "And that same fight is going on inside of you." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf will win?" And his grandfather replied, "Whichever one you feed." Now, ironically, that wisdom teaching, the parable, the tale of two wolves, it's trying to share with us exactly what the book of Proverbs is seeking to impart. For the opposite of wisdom, my friends, is not ignorance. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness and wickedness. And listen, I know that some of you are tired of hearing about my past, but let me just say again, I can attest that my years of struggling before Christ could not necessarily be blamed on my ignorance, because I had street smarts about me. And that street smarts taught me how to be deceptive, calloused, and suspicious. Only a few times in my extremes of wildness was caution and attentiveness absent. And because of this, in the eyes of some that I ran with, I was seen as wise. You know, I was good at using my networking and organizational skills to obtain and sustain the vices that I believe made me appear successful to the world. and my cunningness within that darkness I embraced was no doubt forms of wickedness and foolishness. And here's the sad truth, brothers and sisters. During that season of my life, that wisdom of folly had become my coping skills in dealing with life as it came. Now, maybe some of us here this morning, or maybe some of you watching at home, have become aware that what we thought were practices of wisdom within our lives are actually pitfalls that hinder us from living the good life. Well, hopefully, our text is going to help us have clarity today on a definition of wisdom and how to identify the virtues associated within living the good life that wisdom seeks for us to have. So, Nathan, if you would you thank you? We're going to dissect a few of the words out of verse number 2. So the first one we're going to look at from verse number 2 is wisdom. What is wisdom? If you were to Google this on the internet, you could probably find several definitions. But if you were to Google what is biblical wisdom, this might be a definition that would pop up on the forefront of your search engine. And it would say this: wisdom is the capacity of the mind that allows us to embrace life from God's perspective. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you, to me, that was a pretty bold statement. But I don't think it's an inaccurate one. And I say this because if we look at the Hebrew word, and listen, I am not a Hebrew scholar, so please don't send me emails or messages on Facebook that I have, butchered these Hebrew terms. I'm going to do my best to say them, and I will spell them for you who are here in person. If we look at the Hebrew word that is translated into English to wisdom, it is called chokmah, H-O-K-M-A-H. And what people don't understand is that word is not limited into just defining wisdom as cognitive thinking. The actual Hebrew concept of wisdom means skill and the ability to function successfully in life. You see, Solomon is wanting the people of his day to know that wisdom is practical, like the book of Proverbs. Is practical. In fact, many theologians believe that this book is the most practical book of all the canon of Holy Scripture. So part of having wisdom is for you and I to do things practically. I like the way one preacher wrote about it when I was studying for this sermon. He writes this: as contemporary Christians, we tend to believe God is only involved in giving us the ability to do what we categorize as spiritual, he says, like Bible study or prayer. We imagine that God's direct input into our lives ends when worship is over and we leave church on Sunday. He goes on to say, leaving the rest of our time as secular, here we learn that biblically it is considered wisdom to do our jobs well. To be able to use a photocopier or program a computer or run a lawnmower. He ends this quote that I quoted of him where he says, a janitor should be using his or her spiritual gifts just as much as a pastor. I thought that was so revealing because what he's trying to convey, what I'm trying to convey, what I believe Solomon is trying to convey is this: wisdom is the skill to use one's knowledge rightly. And if there's ever been a time in our world when people need to use their knowledge rightly, then obviously if you've been on Facebook, then I think you would agree with me that we are at the epitome of a time in history when people need to use their wisdom rightly. But Solomon doesn't stop there, friends. He goes on to help us have a greater understanding of wisdom when he says in verse 7 that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And this is the theological portion of our understanding of wisdom. Or another way we could say this is to have wisdom is to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but if you get home, if you will thumb over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, you'll see where that verse says, He, meaning Jesus, became wisdom from God for us. This means that He made us righteous and holy and delivered us. So if you want to know what the first step is to obtaining wisdom, then you need to seek Jesus. If you want to know what the first step is to having wisdom, we need to seek Jesus. Now, going back to verse 2, there's another word there that I found very compelling in the Hebrew, and that is that word discipline. Now, the Hebrew word for discipline is spelled M-U-S-A-R, so I'm going to say musar. And it means a set of practices that gives concrete instructions on how to live a meaningful and ethical life. So let me give you an analogy of what that means. Just because a person studies football does not make them a football player. Amen? The biblical interpretation of discipline in Proverbs is about using a branch of knowledge to train ourselves or to train a person. Now, thinking about how can I parlay this into this message of a contemporary example, I thought about the guy who plays quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers named Tom Brady. And listen, I'm not pitching him because I'm a fan of his. I am pitching him because he has never abandoned the basics of football training, specifically designed for that quarterback position. His mental preparation to repetitively practice the mundane footwork as well as the throwing ranges of his arm are no less in his preparation for a game than his study of new plays and or defensive coverages. Now listen, if you're a person today and you don't identify with sports analogies, then let me just say it this way. No one can obtain godly character without effort and discipline. If any of us are going through life and not evaluating the motives of our actions against the instructions of God, well then, friends, it's just a matter of fact. You're missing the point of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Godly character comes with a price tag. And that price tag is to do the work of transforming our behavior to that of Jesus. You know, I looked at many different studies in preparation for this sermon series. Most of them are studies where they've asked questions to get statistical background. And in my studies, I found it very ironic that one study says specifically that it's unfortunate because a lot of Christians today aren't willing to pay that price I just mentioned. Personal discipleship, you see, includes certain spiritual habits. The habit of worship, the habit of Bible study, the habit of prayer, the habit of giving, the habit of fellowship. And these habits are not something that you are needing to feel obligated to do, but something you should desire to participate within so that you and I can acquire moral discernment. Because part of wisdom is having moral discernment. It's in that time of reflection that you and I began to see what the virtues are of living a life guided by wisdom. Finally, we get to the reason for investigating this book. It's in where it says in verse 2, to help us understand the insights of the wise. That word in Hebrew translated to mean understand is B-I-N-A-H, bina. And this also can mean intelligence. Now we know that God wants each of us to use our intelligence, right? He wants us to use our intelligence to know Him. Because it's in our understanding that we have a personal, holy, and righteous God that has given us a heart condition to love and to do justly. That is what serves as a starting point of us identifying the virtues associated with living the good life. Living, as Proverbs said in our translation today, a successful life. But again, friends, I have to remind us. Proverbs says there's two paths that you and I have the chance to go down. And both of those paths beckon for our loyalty. A life of folly will spend the same enormous resources to get our attention and our devotion as will a life of wisdom. Yet to have purity of heart, to have the peace that passeth understanding, to love and embrace gentleness, to show mercy, impartiality, sincerity, and a willingness to serve others as God serves us and as you serve God, it will demand of all of us to make that simple choice of which path you will choose to go down. A path of wisdom or a path of folly. Which one will you choose? I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.